Okay, so welcome everybody to the meeting. Is everybody else online, or is this are we the sum total of our committee?
Howdy again, I'm Chris.
It's
Nice to
nice to
meet
see you
you.
again, Chris.
Yes.
Oh wow, I went to Kennewick Council meeting last night and went a little late, so who knows?
I was at MESA last night and they canceled it, so
Oh.
lots of things going on. Well, what are our rules about a quorum? I don't remember. We have somebody
Where's the
on.
bylaws?
Yeah. Yeah. Where are those bylaws?
Martin Nelson from the City of Kennewick on the phone.
I'm sorry, could you say that again?
Martin Nelson from the City of Kennewick.
Thank you, Martin. And
Martin.
Cody, could you introduce yourself?
Oh, he's the IT.
Oh,
I'm just
IT,
IT.
okay.
He's just monitoring the meeting.
And here's Pete Rogalski from Richland. Let's just go around the table. Ashley, would you start?
Good morning. I'm Ashley Gardner, the Solid Waste Health Inspector within Franklin Health District. You're up.
Pete Rogalski, City of Richland, fashionably late. Sorry. Or not.
Trinity Mayfield, the county,
The one who keeps all our wonderful
Cindy
meetings.
Blumel, big citizen, little citizen, regular sized citizen.
Tammy Yeager, WM.
Rebecca Prancic, Basin Disposal.
Chris Lloyd, solid waste, Benton County.
Excellent. Anybody else online besides Mark? Okay. Well, in that case, Jack, I gotta say how much I appreciate you getting those minutes out early,
Sure.
so we can prove them or make corrections while we still remember what happened during the meeting. So, are there any other corrections or anything else to say about the minutes? In that case, could I have a motion to approve them?
To approve.
I got a motion to approve by Tammy Yeager. A second, please.
Second.
Second by Ashleen. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All those
Aye.
opposed, say no. Motion passes. Public comments. Who would like to make any public comments?
I have a public comment.
Go
I've
ahead.
got to find it, sorry.
Oh.
Lumel.
Lumel. I don't know
Lumel.
why I always do that. Sorry. I
It's
will get
another
better.
famous name.
Keep correcting people.
This is a confection that came off of my Domino's pizza delivery this weekend. And it says, learn more about recycling, and it has the QR code. So I did it because I met the person. And so this is Domino's website that it took me to. And it said that pizza boxes, Domino's wants pizza boxes, even though they've been used and they have leftover pizza on them and grease. They want them to be recycled. And they're trying to do work on that. And they've got a research study. I didn't read the study, but it was linked there. So I thought, well, that would be worth reading. I don't think they're there yet, but they're working towards that. So stop laughing. The other part was it said, do you want to know about recycling in your area? Talking about cardboard. And so I put in my zip code. It said what count, what area, because my zip code covers a bunch. The first one I saw was Benton County, so I picked that. It said, sorry, there's no recycling in your area for the pizza box. I don't know if it meant the dirty pizza box. I don't know, but it said no. So then I realized if I went down farther, it did say Prosser, which is where I live. And this is the interesting part. And I wanted to screen save it, but I'm not the technology person. It said, it's implied that you can recycle the pizza box in Prosser. But it said, so I read more what that meant, and it said, well, I think also deducing, it didn't explicitly say you couldn't do it. So that was what the Domino's Corporation was saying. It's implied that you could. So they're kind of saying, maybe you could recycle. Yeah. So my message is we need to fix our message because even if we're not saying the thing that we should be saying to the people in our county, it's getting out to other corporations who are looking at the materials and trying to guess what it is we're doing. So all the citizens are trying to guess, and other corporations are trying to guess what we can do. So that's my message.
So we're working with all of the large corporations. And do this sort of thing and try to come to consensus on how it should be handled, because of course a producer of a product wants you to think that it's recyclable, right? Because that's a positive to the
right.
It's good for them for trying to point you in the right direction. I don't know about in your program, if you rip the box top off and there was no grease on it, you could certainly put that
in. Yeah, I have done that.
Any bin except recycling. The challenge would be depends on what material recovery facility that it's going to. And I can't speak for your
right
stuff. And we don't have yard debris collection in Kennewick yet. But what about Richland? Do you accept the cardboard in anything?
Yeah. Well,
the greasy clean, pizza part.
No.
Okay.
Clean cardboard goes in our curbside program, one of our drop boxes. Soiled cardboard is garbage.
Yeah.
How can we get the correct message in? That's what my thought is. I mean, I didn't believe it could be recycled.
But. Well, they were correct. Prevention County, with the exception that we do have drop boxes at a couple places that take cardboard. But it could be a check. I mean, all we can do is make sure our information online is accurate.
Right. I think that's
so.
And in this Slack, the thing we just approved had a whole big thing on education. So I think Basin is working on our messaging, but the Benton County website has a whole piece where it says we're going to educate the public, and I think a robust website would certainly be part of that. And I'm going to assume, especially with AI, that corporations are not only talking to you, but they're going out and pulling off of different government websites for that information. So
absolutely.
Yeah.
I would think that's where it starts. But yes, we don't take dirty pizza boxes either. Grease is not a good thing for cardboard. So
yeah, nor for any kind of recycling, really. You know, the cleaner, the better. I don't know if there's a way that they can have an insert in a pizza box or something that can be thrown away. But.
Ashleen and I are doing a class at Richland High next week, so I'm going to have to have pizza between now and then so I can take the box.
Well, we
put that on my list.
You can do a sorting contest class.
We've got 45 minutes. We have got lots of stuff to run through.
Yeah.
We've had a couple other people join us, so would you go ahead and introduce yourself?
So my name's Chris Olson. I'm the citizens representative for, I guess, Benton County and stuff like this. I've been a member since, I think this is established and stuff. That's why.
Yeah.
So, but I just want to say is that I think I'm going to be resigning my position.
Oh.
And I think that I may have some people that may be interested that I know. So how should I do that?
Jackie, how do we go about it? I know that Cindy is interested in interest as well.
Okay, so you do about have some, yeah.
Well, so that's why I printed the bylaws at first, because I wasn't sure how that worked.
Okay.
And it says that we can have 9, but no more than 12 members. I don't see where it says that there could be multiple public citizens. So I think you just have to show interest.
Okay,
and I think if once we're okay, the SWAC is okay with it, then that's why I sent out the emails for everyone, is I have to send that up before the board. But I don't know that there's any rules in here that's maybe.
What is the county process? I mean, do they have other advisory commissions? Do they have like a little application form or something? No?
It was a letter.
Okay.
Just a letter of interest to write a letter to the
commissioner.
Well, no, I think we just SWAC.
And then I forward who's on the committee to them.
You know, in Franklin County, they had 19 applicants, and I really wanted to do, you know, some questions just to kind of see where their knowledge base was, and also to make sure we didn't have everybody from one industry. They elected not to do that, but I...
Do we want to make a... always have to swag, decide to make a form.
I would think that that would be beneficial. Who, you know, what's your experience with solid waste? You know, what companies do you represent?
Right.
What's your interest? Where do you live?
Right.
Yeah. That.
I mean, we have such forms for like planning commission and that kind of thing. So I probably could gin something. I'll volunteer.
If you'll volunteer to gin up some questions, that'd be great. And then if you'll share those, Jackie, if we have any other questions we want to throw on there. We don't want to make this a master's essay or a thesis, but just to make sure that we're eliciting kind of a balanced viewpoints.
Okay.
I always think that helps a committee when you have people from other industries going, wait, did you know? Just like Tammy helps me all the time.
I think the last time when Kristen... Yours expired. I don't remember what. You left and came back. That's right.
Yes, it did. We went to Colorado for a year or something like that, and then
right,
we came back.
So I think I wrote a letter to the commissioners, something like that, and said, you know, so that we would have a citizen.
Okay.
But I'll gin something up. And, yeah, the bylaws.
Chris, I'd like to just say thank you for your service. When I told my boss that you were on the board, he had very complimentary things to say.
Well, thank you very much. And it was certainly an honor working with this group of people for so long and stuff like this. And I think that we've made a lot of headway about, you know, the SWAC and stuff like this. And, you know, taking and separating out garbage and worth recycling stuff. I think that's really critical, you know. So I've enjoyed the relationship here. So thank you very much.
Great.
It's an honor.
Yeah, sometimes these have been slogging through the minutiae. So thank you for being here. Any other public comments? Moving on then to Matt's not here for the municipal waste update. Are you going to do that, Chris?
Basically, we just got our engineering plans back for the ventilation. We're super happy about that. We've been waiting a while. It looks like we're going to run about $200,000 to $250,000 for the install. And then from there, we should have some mock runs. We get open and we're going to take what we can at first and keep developing more things to take in.
Is that going to let you do the bulk of the gas?
So we have the ventilation in for the gas. And so I think at this time, the only thing that we are going to bulk is gas.
Right.
So, and the rest will be non-bulking lab packs or
whatever. As an individual wanting to donate gas.
Right. Right. I was really big pushing on the gas. Just because we've had so many phone calls about oil and gas, you know, and that's probably more than oil or anything else. I kind of had an idea with the pizza boxes. Maybe we can talk about that later, but I'm kind of wondering if it needs to be an MRW, something that we need to take in and maybe distribute, but that's another conversation. But all in all, it looks like things are falling into place finally. The wheels of this new world we live in turns slow, but it seems to be working for us finally. So that's about all I got right now.
When is it going to be open and fully functioning? Do you have a date?
I don't have a date as yet because we're just going out to bid right now. So as soon as we get out to bid and they actually tell us, you know, when they can come in and install, then we'll have a better idea of when we're going to open.
Okay.
And you now have the drains figured out?
Azaline is going to have the plans from Tavis. I forgot about, did you ever get those plans from Tavis for the tanks?
I believe so.
Okay. She's going to look at the tanks because we talked about that at our last
meeting. I looked at it and sent something to Matt. Mm-hmm. It appears that there is another drywall somewhere out there that they hooked that apron drain to.
Right.
That's what that one valve goes to. Doesn't go to the other tanks. The other tanks are only the for the fire suppression in the building.
Right. And as far as that goes, I don't have the right information on that thing. You know, so as far as I know.
Did you guys lift that lid?
I've lifted the lid before. Yeah.
I mean the manhole cover?
No, we never lifted the manhole cover.
That would be the proof of if they put a manhole in or drain in that. That's okay. Where that apron drain goes, okay. According to the prints.
Okay. Well, we'll have to.
Okay, we'll talk about the tank part of it.
Yeah.
This is Martin Nelson. I have an additional question.
Sir?
Go ahead.
Hi. If you guys are going to modify something that goes to a dry well, I would like to see that because this is in our wellhead protection area for the city's primary well.
Okay. Well, that would just be scheduling a time to come on over and check it out. We're there Monday through Thursday.
Okay. Should I reach out to you and how do
you
I get a hold of
you? Reach out to me anytime. It's just Christopher.Lloyd. At county.benton.washington.us.
I believe that's are you included in the emails that get sent out to the group? Would I see your email in there?
Yes.
Okay, cool. I'll grab it from there.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Happy to join you if you want me to. Christopher, another entity.
Yes, ma'am.
Who I'll say nameless.
Okay.
This building facility, would it be okay if I had them contact you about what not to do or who to do?
Okay.
Just general conversation.
Okay. Ask me a question again.
It's another municipality
That's
working on a facility.
Okay.
Just getting started.
Okay.
And I think it would be nice to be able to learn from the do's and don'ts of what you've experienced.
Okay. And I can give them some contacts too.
Okay.
Get a hold of that. Even way more knowledge than I do.
Okay.
Sounds good. Yeah, that have helped us.
Okay.
So yeah.
Thank
totally.
You.
Yes. Sure.
So what's this? So have you finished your building permit through Kennewick? And do you have occupancy at the facility?
We do have occupancy at the facility. Yes.
And you have an operating permit, or you're not
going to have an operating permit yet. Yeah.
And that's what the ventilation project is needed to satisfy to get an operating permit?
Yes.
I see.
Yes.
Okay.
Try to turn off that whole stuff.
And maybe, sorry if I'm catching up, but this $250,000 to improve ventilation, that has been funded or
that
is that
that is a question for probably Jack and Fila, Matt. They're that's a little out of my scope.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I'm not really involved in that.
I think it's maybe going to come out of the solid waste fund. I don't know our grant money and all that, but I'm not exactly positive, so I can't give you the firm answer on that. That would be a Matt Mahoney question.
Okay, thank you.
Anything else we need to know about the MRW?
We're just trying to get it done as fast as we can. That's all we're trying to do.
Are we planning a contractor event, or are we putting all our chips in getting the facility operational?
There might be a later event, maybe in early summer. I'm not sure yet. I'm pretty sure though that somehow we're probably going to have to do one more event before we're open. So that's my opinion. I don't know if that's actually going to happen, but I believe that we should do one before we're open.
Okay. Could you guys have an event at your facility, or would it be at the fairgrounds?
I think the Florida fairgrounds are actually easier because of the amount of traffic flow that just comes when you do one of these things. We couldn't handle that.
Okay.
And then plus you've got the two lanes that are running right in front of the facility, and you know, there's 1,000 people that show up in that one day, and it's just asking for an accident. So, but maybe eventually we can do maybe a smaller type event for farmers or, you know, whatever. There's a farmer drop off where they just come and bring oil and all that kind of stuff. And so there's a lot of things that we can do, but really my main focus right now is just getting this thing open. So as fast as we possibly can and as careful as we can possibly be at the same time.
So what does the ventilation provide you?
So when it comes down to like the actual garbage, it's more about concentration than anything else. Like I hear a lot of people say, well, it's just stuff you got in your garage. I mean, we breathe it. Mm-hmm. Well, when you've got a tote full of paint, you know, when you've got a whole, you know, tote full of aerosol cans.
It's just fans in the
ceiling. Yes, it's two fans in the ceiling. These will be pulling from the side of the building. So you will have basically round pipe or square pipe across the wall. They'll be right above the cans.
Okay.
And so it's going to draw right off the top.
Downdrafts.
Yes.
Will it come off the same fans?
Those fans will still be incorporated in the system.
So put more fans in.
There is a makeup air unit that we're going to have to put in because it's going to pull so much that like during the winter, it'd be like negative 40 in there. So we're going to have to put in some makeup air. As far as that goes, that's pretty much all I know.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the design, I was amazed because winter wise, it would just suck.
Yeah. Yeah, but you know, if you have makeup air, it's going to push more air in there. It'll be fine. But, yeah, it's just the ventilation that was in there just was just not enough suction to pull out nasty things. If you mix the wrong chemical by accident, you know,
you get a reaction,
yeah. You know, you got to keep people safe. Well, you know, be stupid to lay somebody, you know, over some garbage, you know,
which will then lead to a lawsuit, which,
right.
Not a good way to go.
Yeah. So are you working on procedures?
Yes, we are actually working on procedures.
Okay, so you're focusing on unknowns, as in you're not going to let them out of the car.
Oh, it's fine. And like stuff we don't know what it is. There's like good and bad to that, because if you send them away, you know, with an unknown, they're going to put it somewhere and it ain't going to go back in their house. So because they don't want it in their house. So the majority of the people that I've talked to, it's better to take it, put it somewhere where it's safe, away from everything else. And if you actually can't tell what it is, call the bomb squad. You know, if you think it's crystallized and you think it's might be, you know, an acid would blow up or something, and get their personal opinion on it, or get a chemist to come out and look at it.
Well, no, but I'm just wondering about
accepting it.
I spend a lot of time in the liability of cost has been associated with actually testing it.
Yeah.
And we don't have, I mean, are you working with procedure how you would test the sample it?
Well, there is a water and oil test. There is a water and oil test that you can do in a small laboratory. I've seen it done 3 or 4 times. We used to do something similar out at Framatome. But like I said, if it's an acid, I'm not touching it. So, because if I can't tell what it is and it's some acid that's going to blow up, if I put water on it or oil on it, I'm not going to do that. But if it's some other liquid that looks halfway normal, I'm going to test it and figure out what it is. But yes, there is cost associated with this. MRWs, HHWs, they're very expensive. Any garbage is very expensive.
Well, and depending on what you take, whoever your contractor is not going to be able to haul it.
Right.
So.
You have to give it to somebody if it's
hazardous waste. So you're going to have to do some kind of manifest process. Mm-hmm. You know all this.
Well, I'm learning. I come from the nuclear world and that chemical, and I'm telling you, basic garbage is a lot different. So, but I am learning, and there's a lot to learn in this. It's amazing. So lots of new acronyms. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So have you ever had any issues where you've had radioactive material that was put into some of the garbage and stuff like that?
So right now we're not accepting anything. So I don't have any horror stories yet.
Okay.
As far as this facility goes. But I'm sure next year I might have a few.
Okay.
So for you. But if you're still here.
Yeah, but
you asked the question about getting red sampling capability. Are you opting out of that? I mean, like I said, there's a lot of baggage with maintaining RAD sensors accurate and calibration and being licensed to have sources and things of that nature. That's why I propose that you just defer to the fire department.
Well, that's what I was, you know, bomb squad, fire department, they're right next door. I mean, literally, I'd probably just walk over there. Hey, you want to come look at something? You know, and that would probably be fine. So that's one nice thing about where we're at.
I mean, it's the strangest thing is when somebody brings in equipment that probably has mercury in it, because there's a lot of there's a lot of old equipment that has mercury in it.
Yep. And then CFLs on that note, didn't we start doing the smoke alarms and stuff? Aren't they all universal now? Because it's just such a low amount. I think that's what happened. I think they're just a universal waste now. They went back to that on the smoke alarms.
The red ones?
The, as far as mercury goes and things like that with smoke alarms, I think that they actually went back to just universal waste.
Well, I mean, all capsule mercury is universal waste, but the...
Well, we were taking them for a while. That's the thing. With the MRWs, they were taking smoke alarms or taking, you know, ballasts with mercury in them and things like that. And then there was a change, and latex paint, it went to universal waste. And so did the small concentrations of mercury and all the bad stuff with smoke alarms. So,
well, the smoke alarms, I mean, some of them are americium. That's where it comes. Yeah. They're supposed to be returned to the vendor. Now, we can take them, and the vendor will take them back. But I don't think we're going to have to. That's one of the procedures you're going to have to focus on, making sure that you segregate the ones that can be embracing.
Right.
Right.
Sounds like you've got your work cut out.
There's a lot going on.
Let's move on to the 5-year solid waste plan adoption status by city.
Okay, so I'm down to the last two.
I hope I answered this question.
Yes, thank you. So, City of Kennewick is working on it.
Okay.
City of Benton City still being reviewed by their attorney. So I'm not sure how quick. I think Kennewick's farther ahead than Benton City. And then all I need from West Richland is the signature page, because it was...
We did last Tuesday.
But did you get the signature page that's notarized and everything? Was that taken care of in the meeting?
No, I mean, we don't do that in the meeting.
That's the only thing I'm missing from West Richland out of that meeting. Okay. And I can email that to you if you would like.
Did they have it?
It was in the files that I sent over with the resolution template that was in there and the plan. But I can send that part of it.
Or just send me a note over to the start of the
email. Okay.
Yeah, what form you want.
Okay.
She's got a lot of things on her plate. Sign here.
Next time we do something like that, you might want to check, because usually you don't have to get those things notarized.
I did with our PA, and she wanted them notarized.
Fascinating.
Our clerk, this is a signature on the plan or on the interlocal?
It's a separate... just signature page that came over with the resolution to us.
I'm just stating the plan. After yeah. Council's, you know, it's just the vote and the signature.
And the signature on the resolution. And that's what's notarized.
And no, it's not even on the resolution. It's just a separate signature page.
But what are you signing? I mean, you're signing your approval of the resolution.
She wanted it.
That's, I just wanted
it. Yeah.
That's like we need people have a resolution that it's signed all the time about.
Yeah. Interesting. So that's where we're at with that. I'm getting close.
That's great. Yeah. Okay. Anything else for public discussion from the public?
So I was questioning about for the waste oil in the Richland drop-off, has there been any issues encountered with unknown materials being added to it or anything like that?
They've had that's your question, right? You're from, yeah. Sorry.
Yeah, we with some regularity, we have a tank that's contaminated.
What is it contaminated with?
What's that?
What is it even contaminated with?
No, I don't. I think PCBs or I'm not entirely sure.
Okay.
But when the vendor comes out to service the tank, they reject them every so often, and we have to go through a process.
I think I would be suspicious. It's that proverbial gasoline that gets in there and makes it.
I think last time they said it was just really highly chlorinated, and it wasn't PCBs. It was just really chlorinated. But I think it's Orco that comes in regularly pumps it out. I think Orco comes out and does it. They do a test and they go, "Oh, well, it's hot. I'm not taking that." You know how dark. Well, never mind. Anyway, so it's hot. I'm not going to do anything about it. So then you have to call ACT, our vendor that does like our MRW pickups, and they have to come out. They have to check it again, and then you know take it away.
That so could get a little spendy.
Lots of money.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Everything's expensive.
So there's nothing cheap today.
There's nothing cheap. There ain't no good deal.
Except our time. Right?
Yeah.
I have a question.
Good. Okay. I was interested in your compost facility and how things are going.
Yeah.
How many compost have you had?
Well, so you did an RFP, right?
So we did we solicited consultants to do an organics process feasibility study. Is that what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Okay. So we got three responses, and we've selected a team led by a company called Herrera. They've assembled essentially a consulting team, a consortium that includes this group called Cascadia that does waste sampling. And an engineering group, I think, called JRMA, that apparently is involved in some processing facility designs or processing projects, and then they have a rate or a finance consultant element to sort of round out the feasibility study. And so what we do next is we work with that consulting team to dial in a budget and a scope of work. And then when that is polished and ready to go, we put this contract in front of the city council and launch the work. And it's probably a month or 6 weeks until we actually are under contract with them and then can initiate work. And we framed the study as centered on Richland, but with some sort of awareness or connections in the region. And so you guys, you can expect this Herrera group to be in touch with you, and we're certainly, I think the feasibility of any real processing enterprise will depend on scale a lot, and so we'll have to figure out. We'll have to I haven't really gotten that far in my thinking, but I would expect that there'll be kind of a Richland-centric analysis that says if we just do take process around our own, what are the implications, and then if there's a bigger scope or a broader enterprise to bring in other partners and that kind of thing, the math will turn out differently, and so we should. We haven't pre-negotiated or discussed anything, but we just. I guess my general approach was I wanted to do this kind of work under our under our technical oversight or with our criteria in mind, as a foundation of knowledge for engaging with regulations as they're developed. Right? If the regulations come out and say do A, B, and C, and we've either validated that A, B, and C is feasible or opposite, we've said A, B, and C really isn't going to work here. We want to do X, Y, and Z. then I'm hoping that we have that foundation to engage.
What waste feed are you expecting to, what type of waste?
Well, the new RCW 70A now talks about segregating organic waste at the customer and food, basically food and yard waste, I think, is what we're talking about.
No, but are you
looking at oils and greases and putting both?
I mean,
what's that?
Putting organic, the food waste and the yard waste together.
I'm not looking at anything.
Oh, one size fits all.
I don't have an outcome in this thing. I don't want to presume that I know that much.
Right now you're taking yard waste.
We take yard waste, and our specific instructions are don't put food in it.
Right.
I guess that's all I really want to say, because I don't know. The whole point is to draw expertise to get smarter before venturing into unknown territory.
There's on the governor's desk right now is a new House Bill
23
thing, something
2301, I think,
which has a bunch of requirements related to collecting not only yard waste but food waste. We don't do either segregated in Kennewick, nor do we have anywhere to link it. So there's a lot of unfunded things going on, and then there's similar to what we have going on. There's other county-run facilities elsewhere that don't have or don't want or aren't permitted to take food waste, and it's kind of a game changer as far as neighbors and that kind of thing. So
you're saying we need a hard phone?
It's sensitive.
Yeah.
and if, let's say that Richland said this is the best thing since sliced bread, and they go ahead and put in a facility that's big enough for the region, we are all going to be in whether we want to be or not. Because we have a 5-year exemption because there's no facility in the region, as soon as somebody has one, we're all in. Benton County's in, Kennewick's in, Richland's in, Pasco's in. I mean, we're in.
But it's if their facility.
If the facility has capacity.
Right.
Or I assume. I mean, the rules have, right? But I guess you guys are probably following the rules development and the legislation more closely than me. So I don't. But Ecology now is commissioned with generating these programs.
Yes.
And.
And Pete, just FYI, Pasco now has Japanese beetle.
Yeah.
And so we're talking with the Department of Ag, they've got a 1-mile segregated area in Pasco, and we're talking about can we collectively get all the yard waste and ship it to Grandview, which is where they're composting everything, which out of our area is great, but Japanese beetles are a lot like COVID. They spread.
Okay.
So
composting kills them, or doesn't kill them?
That'd be something for your research project. Yeah.
They said that if you can, this doesn't make sense to me from an agronomy standpoint, but they said if you catch it at the grub stage, like they're spraying this whole area, and then they said if you take the yard waste out and you have them at the larvae stage before they start flying around and you compost them, they don't go anywhere.
Yeah.
But my question is always, what about those herb risers that...
Well, and just transport of apple mate, we deal with that, and... we can't transport certain things out of certain areas. So is that one of those?
Yes. This, they've actually got, I don't know, because now we're taking it to Grandview. So I don't, or we're looking at taking it to Grandview. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
I don't know if people are look favorably on Richland wading into this, or everybody sort of wishes you wouldn't, because if we can all stand out here in no man's land, and
it's coming whether we want it to or not. So
yeah.
But you know? So, okay. That feels like it validates. My intention is to be as smart as we can, as rich as I can, going into it. And intuitively, it seems to me that the residential food waste is the last thing you would go into, right? If you
they're starting with commercial and ecology zone. Maybe you have it's a kind of a lengthy thing that was started with larger quantity generators of food, like grocery stores.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. If we go to Fred Meyer or Reason or something and get an organic container and then you do
but it's coming pretty quick because other areas already have compost facilities and already have collection. So we're kind of at the tail's wagging the dog situation. You know, we're catching up, but...
Yeah.
If you need help or something, let me know as far as statistics or anything.
That's the first step. They'll be doing an actual waste sampling process out of our collection system. But then I think one part of it, as they proposed it, is to reach out to neighbors and see what kind of data is available.
Yeah.
It might even be feasible to include, it's not scoped at present to do like waste sampling in the whole region, but if that was desirable, then we might be able to do kind of a mini sampling, targeted sampling. Although, I mean, I gotta believe that sampling in Richland would be representative of the region. Except for rural areas.
Well, we're not collecting there. I mean, it can't be that different. I mean, we have the ecology.
Oh, I see what you mean. Yeah.
But back in the day, there used to be grant funds available for those kind of samplings. I mean, I know life has changed a lot, but I don't know. Maybe. Mm-hmm. A lot of the funds from here were going to the moderate waste facility and that kind of thing. But as that gets up and going, is all that money going to still be eaten up? Or, probably.
Yeah. And just an FYI, as Tammy said, this is coming. And there's a group called Zero Waste Washington that has been leading the charge. And basically their goal is that you would have a garbage container, a recycling container, and a organic waste container, which means you're going to be paying roughly $60 a month in today's dollar. I don't know what it'll be when this finally passes, but that's going to be a big shock for the area. People are already kicking at 25, 30, so.
And that's go up. Plus changing the car colors.
Oh my gosh, yes.
What are they changing to?
Brown for organics.
Unfortunate.
Yeah, brown for yard waste. Is it for recycling? And I can't remember what color garbage is.
I don't know.
Right now it's gray. But
gray, green. I
thought it was black.
Is it black?
Okay. Been gray.
We have to change lids, right, Michelle?
That was what was talked about. It got shot down. I don't see it coming back in the next session. It could, but there was a lot of controversy on that one. I know Zero Waste Washington wants it, but I know all the haulers did not. So we'll
see. Yeah. Millions and millions of dollars for them to switch their car colors. So,
yeah.
Although the haulers were in favor of doing it in like parks, big universal places, where a lot of different people congregated, we were okay with that. But as one person said, are you really confused about which one's which in your yard? I mean, don't you know which one's your compost and your garbage? People certainly know. Do we really have to change all the color?
No comment.
So,
be surprised.
So anyway, but it's coming. I mean, they've already said that they're going to run. They did $17.99 last year, which said kind of set the framework for who would have to do organics. And then this year they've done $23.01 that started to talk about cart colors, which got thrown out, but also talking about food waste and how they're going to fund some of this, and also diversion of food from disposal to people that don't have food. And so I just think the next iteration will be what? Mandatory curbside recycling. That's on the list.
Yeah, that is on the list.
That's on the list.
And then EPRs, it will continue. Extended producer responsibility will continue to come back. A couple things were passed this time, but there's some very targeted, I don't remember the couple things that were passed. Nothing earth shattering, but, you know.
But it's coming. It's coming.
Just one other little piece of news. I think our renewable natural gas plant goes live this at the end of this week. So he's got the last. We are waiting. Cascade Gas has a validating instrumentation or something. That was the last piece, and it just got delivered this week. So they're bolting everything up, and at the end of the week, the meter is supposed to start spinning where we're selling on gas. And I think Lamb Weston should be pretty soon behind.
In this legislation 2301.
What's that now? I'm sorry, what?
I was just asking one more question. Do you know when that will be this week?
Well, I just heard by Friday. So
in this legislation 2301, I don't remember if it's just the food diversion, but if you're asking for grants to start doing refrigeration and trucks that will haul things back and forth, they can only be EV. They can't be anything else. And so there is the garbage haulers who use a lot of renewable natural gas. People, our trucks are going, you just put in money to have renewable gas extracted. We've switched to renewable natural gas, and now we're starting to see legislation that says you must use EV, which, as we've tried to explain, there are no EV garbage trucks. They don't have enough torque to pick up the drop boxes. So I don't know where we're it's hard if you're a municipality or anybody else to figure out where do you put your money right now, because nothing looks very safe. And these are very expensive projects, all of them.
I understand the patience for the haulers, but with the haulers, with food waste, it's going to be a specialty truck. It's not going to be the normal garbage truck. Well, it seems for the region, it would make sense for one hauler, one entity, whether it's any of you guys, to, quote, become the specialty food waste hauler.
Yeah. They're not special trucks. They just get replaced more often because of the acidity.
Right. Well, no, I'm saying, maybe... It may be appropriate if you're going to go after that, much like the old waste oil collectors, food oil collectors. That was a recycle, correct? So
it's a lot more complicated than you think. For instance.
If an entity decided they're going to service this region, could the individual haulers subcontract with that entity just to do the food waste?
There's no reason to. It's something we do.
It's Derek's. There's money in garbage, so
it's just taking it out of one can and putting it in another can. Same trucks, and I said, you have to replace certain things more often or pay more attention to what's leaking or not leaking.
And the price is in the processing. Yeah, that's where the added price comes in.
Especially if there's contamination and you don't have a footprint to screen things out.
Especially with food waste.
Yeah, this organics building, it's crazy. This company, they take everything. It don't matter what it is, as far as I know. When we went to that, was it Spokane or Tacoma? Where they were talking about that everybody's going to have to get one of these organics places.
Oh.
I can't remember, but it's amazing. They can take meat to...
Are you talking about an anaerobic digester?
Yeah, like the company that was talking about the organics in different parts of Washington State, how they're going to come to like Tri-Cities area, and then contract with the counties and all your organic stuff will go there.
That's a different model and sales pitch, so...
Yeah, so it's... Mm-hmm. there's that company that's coming too. I can't remember the name of them. There's so much stuff going on that day, but good Lord. I mean, they're literally going to come to a point where nothing is going to come out of your house unless it's recycled. So it's good in one sense and expensive in the other, like everything else, you know. So
just an FYI, I'm sure Tammy's getting the same calls. I'm getting calls every week from people. And the last one I got was somebody who wanted all our plastics. Mm-hmm. And I said, so tell me more. Right. He's from India. His company's from India. And I said, you know, I've been to India. You've got a lot of plastic in India. What's bringing you here? And it was the dollars, the tax credits. Wow. So it's like, so this is all being... Don't ever think that this is being done out of the goodness of people's hearts. People are chasing money. And so every time you add a level, you're going to add a price. And I'm not saying it's good or bad, but I did just talk to a PhD chemist who said there is absolutely no scientific evidence that proves composting produces less methane in the atmosphere than leaving it in landfills.
She said, we're capturing it. In landfills.
Right. Yes. Yeah. She said, you're just leaking in of different. And I mean, she works with energy loads. So this is her field of expertise. And it's like, you've got to be kidding. She said, nope.
Well,
yeah, this is what our measurements show.
I could feel it when we were there. There's a lot of frustration. People don't understand. You know, old school's going away, new school's coming in. Whether it's right or wrong, you know, it's coming. So it's a new world. Technology's changing. It's changing fast.
What is the discussion about where all this compost is going to go once it's made?
I can't remember.
The other thing in this House bill is a requirement by government to do reporting of how much compost they're buying and what it is used for. Last year or the year before, governments had to say they signed a procurement ordinance. So, and that's just a blip. I mean, there's going to be way more compost than... usage, maybe, unless the compost is really pretty
good. Top notch. Which, that's another misassumption in this bill. They keep talking about land applications. So I have a brother who's a farmer, and I've talked to several other farmers, and they say, if you think you're putting anything on our land, unless it's been tested by 3 independent verified lab people that we trust, you can think again. We're not...
They're not going to go and contaminate.
That's exactly. This is an expensive asset. I am.
When they're growing something, when somebody throws some PCBs in there, and you're stuck with it.
Yeah. More to that, I asked Schessler. I said, you know, you're a farmer. How do you feel about this? And he said, if you think I'm putting any PFAS soil on my property, you can think again.
Yeah.
And PFASs seem to be everywhere. So, I mean, farmers. This bill assumes farmers are going to just welcome all of this organic matter, and farmers are going, oh, no. We will take very specific where we know where it came from and what's in it and what its characterization is. But just to take your problem because you've got compost, not our problem.
Wow.
And it's their private property. I mean, they're protecting an asset that they are growing food on. So why wouldn't you be defensive?
They probably have enough of their own organic matter to turn into compost.
So it's just... My brother's one of those no-till farmers. That's what
it's just cost prohibitive for them to turn that into so they could buy something else to put on there that's less expensive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, less risk.
I mean, that's your risk. Well, I mean, you know, if you go down to Las Vegas probably generates more food waste than any other metropolitan areas, and it all goes to the hog farms.
Mm-hmm.
And
so that's why it's complicated to go after food waste, because it's already going places.
Well,
industries are pretty smart about where they take stuff. Well, if they can do something more cost effective than taking it to a landfill, they've already done it.
Right, but you know, Las Vegas is unique from that standpoint.
What's unique?
Well, the large areas that generate a large amount of food waste in particular.
Yeah. Just because of hotels.
Hotels, you know, tourism. And I mean, they've had the huge hog farms forever.
Mm-hmm. But to put together, I put together a rather sophisticated post-consumer waste program for Westlake Center in Seattle years ago. And just the equipment alone for it was $40,000, and staff was way more than that. and they couldn't continue, the mall couldn't continue, but we proved that we could get really clean food waste, but you had to have specialty sorting equipment or stations. You had to train everyone in whatever language they were speaking of the day because staff rotated constantly. And you can do it, but it's expensive. So thinking that out of the hotels, the restaurants and all of that, to get really clean material is going to be a project.
Difficult.
And expensive.
Oh, yeah. So, you know, near the volume.
No. No, I know that, but this doesn't, beyond the 8 yard and a 6 yard, 4 yard, 8 yard, it's like, it says you're going to have to figure it out. So,
it's going to be a project.
Yeah, that seems pretty.
And I don't think we're against it. No. It's just that we want people to know it's A, going to cost money.
Yeah.
And B, you can't make assumptions about who's going to take your stuff.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I mean, so then there becomes the question of what do we do with compost that we can't offload?
Yeah, because it's not hard to collect. That's the easy part.
Yeah. Yeah.
So anyway, downstream issues.
I have a question for the group. This is Martin. And maybe this might show up as Pete does his study, or maybe other people get involved in doing some sort of similar study, but will I put my food in the food waste container, or will I put it in the garbage?
Right now it goes in with organics, doesn't it? In that bill?
If you're it's all the food waste.
What I'm asking is how do you assure compliance? If in the state of Washington, we're going to mandate hundreds of millions or billions of dollars worth of modifications to these systems statewide in all of these cities and counties. How do you get compliance? I mean, if we can't get people to recycle at a high level, how do we also then get people to sort food and do it correctly at home? Just as Tammy, you were discussing, you have to be well trained to actually turn this food waste into something safe and usable, as opposed to mixing up garbage and food inappropriately. How on earth are we going to get people, just random citizens across all of these cities and counties, to comply? To me, it just sounds like there's a good idea, and maybe it's a great idea, but it doesn't sounds like the state is moving very quickly to force something that we don't understand how to do yet. It's kind of like glass. You know, glass is awesome, except, you know, what is the right thing to do with glass? And putting it in a truck and heavy, you know, hauling that heavy, sharp rock, you know, hundreds of miles to find a place to do something with it, doesn't sound like we've come up with the right solution yet. So.
Well, and some of it's coming from, you know, Zero Waste Washington, I think, really good intentions. Let's just not waste anything.
Sure.
And we could probably, through a massive amount of education and door knocking, get, you know, 50% of people do it correctly, but there's the other 50%. And just the whole thing of, if compost facilities were really profitable, there'd be a lot of them out there already. So that's kind of the challenge with this. As far as enforcement, I believe it falls on the health districts, but there isn't any funding. And I believe the bill says they can't charge for it. I could be wrong. I read it really fast. I'll read it again. Especially for this area, there's just a bunch of question marks. And we're super thankful that Pete's going to do research. And we're right behind you, Pete.
And Martin, I sat in on the Zero Waste Washington meeting, and every single person that did compost said the biggest challenge they have is contamination. And so one of the things that Zero Waste Washington keeps saying is you don't need a big garbage can. And Basin's thing is, if you're going to do compost, you have the biggest garbage can out there you can get, because what people will do is they will fill up their organic waste when they're doing their yard work, and then, or maybe not, and then if they fill up their garbage can, they'll dump in the rest of their garbage into their recycling bin. And so, especially if they choose a small garbage can.
So there's just a lot to this to make it work. And as Tammy said, it can be done. It's going to be expensive. It's going to take a heck of a lot of education. And I don't know cost metric wise where what the cost benefit is compared to what we're doing now. I don't know.
I think
all I had to say is, hey, yeah, there's changes coming. Does anybody else have anything they want to jump in on?
I could just share. I think it's okay now to share a little bit about DTG and just to share that they, like in Richland, so they're, we approved them to operate with as the material recovery facility discussed, and then in Kennewick as exempt. So they can take fewer types of, within WAC 173, 350, there's, I think it's section 210 within that, specific to material recovery facilities, MRFs, recycling facilities. There's the code for the solid waste facilities, that type of solid waste facilities, and then there's an exempt section. That's how Kennewick is operating. So for example, they can't take commingled materials under exempt.
What can they take, though?
They'll still be participating in the e-cycle program and taking single-source recycling, glass, cardboard,
plastics,
paper.
So their landfill in Yakima is still closed down, right? Are they having to prove that they're not taking it to Yakima?
They have to send destination of materials lists every year under both exempt and permitting process. So we already received that during the permitting process, and then every once a year they'll have to start. Does anyone have any thoughts or questions about that?
So is the Kennewick facility, that's a change. It used to accept everything under, when it was Clayton Morgan, now under DTG. That's changed. Okay.
And a change from how they were operating up until recently. So this is what they're approved to do right now.
And that Richland is a regular, it's considered a material recovery facility?
Mm-hmm.
And that's where your stuff's going to be?
I forgot what I was going to ask. Sorry. Okay. Oh, under Clayton Ward, Clayton Ward paid people. You know, my husband used to love to take the kids and they'd take their bottles and their stuff.
Yeah.
Are they magically finding that recycling is making money and they're paying people, or are they charging people? Do you know how they're...
They're not charging. Because I go there probably monthly. But I sort everything properly, stuff like this.
Right.
When you start mixing it, that's when the costs go up.
Okay.
And humans should be able to determine if it's glass, plastics, or metals. So.
Yeah, I don't think they're charging lower penny.
Oh, it should be. Those were your keywords.
It should be.
So.
And then the guy that the one in Richland, he is a wonderful person. He knows a lot.
Okay. Okay. The last thing that we should talk about before we adjourn this meeting is the term of the chair is only for a year. And I think I've been doing this for a year. So next meeting, would you like to think about who you want your chair to be? And
that's wonderful too. That one, I'm just looking for the membership.
Do you want to do it today? We don't have to wait till next meeting. We can do it today if you're ready.
What is the eligibility criteria for
there? The chair was always a stink that gets on somebody.
The chair will begin at the first meeting in January of each year, so we're already behind. So we probably do you guys have time? It is 11:00. It's 11:05.
It doesn't say anything that a chair can't do a second term.
Oh.
That's true.
It doesn't say that.
Or a
third.
Speaks like the 10 or 15 years.
Yeah.
Derek had it.
I thought you guys just bounced back and forth.
Oh, Derek had it.
Oh, okay. I thought you were the...
Oh, no. Derek was it before me.
So that was a figurehead thing then, because you were functionally the
swack
and
chair
dude. The plan writer, the meeting organizer, the minute writer.
I think Steve.
Yes, he did.
Beckin took it for a little while.
Okay.
He deserves a swack plaque.
Yeah. 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 So I'd be the Richard Bloom honorary chair, is like at a university. You have an endowed professorship. Swack chair in Benton County should be endowed as the Richard Bloom
chair. We'll give him
the
key to that. That's right. Yeah. But do you want to do this at the next meeting, or do you want to do it right now?
You're in.
I am willing to serve, but my feelings will not be hurt if somebody else wants to do it. So,
yeah, way too much.
I'm
going
to pass
it. Are you comfortable doing it? I am comfortable doing it because Eric said, you go do it, I'm not doing it.
I'm comfortable.
You're having a triple every time I see you, so you should
pass it. Can I make a motion?
I move to approve Rebecca as chair.
Second. Got a motion from Richard, a second from Tammy. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed say nay.
Nay.
Okay, you got a chair for next year. And I would like to say that the next meeting, will you talk to the county and the people? Because I think we need to really start talking about Cindy's point about public education and what that website looks like.
Well, I think.
And I will be talking to my people. Waste Management already has a great website, but others really need to help.
We need to start talking to school districts. That's where it's
going. And we're doing the Salmon Summit. Anyone in the thoughts? That's coming up. So we run through every fourth or fifth grader in the whole area at that. And it's pretty cool.
Too.
So, are you there too?
Yeah, we haven't been for that.
Yeah. So I haven't been in years, but I have a team that comes, and it's pretty fun.
I used to love to go up and see the fish tanks when I was working in schools.
So we also have, it says we have to vote for a vice chair and a secretary every year also.
Sorry. So, do we have any volunteers to be vice chair?
I won't object. It's a no. It's not possible.
Does anybody else want to be the vice chair? I move Richard as our vice chair for
the second.
I've got a motion. We got a second. All in favor say aye.
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 If you say nay, you're it.
No.
Nay. All in favor say nay. Okay. And then we need did you say secretary?
Yeah, secretary.
Isn't that what you do? I vote that Jackie be our secretary.
To be someone on the SWAC, because I'm not a SWAC member.
Okay, so I could nominate you as the secretary?
I don't think so, because I'm not a SWAC.
Oh, it has to be somebody on the SWAC. Okay.
Matt, he's not here, so we'll
Matt.
We can't choose somebody who's not here, so.
I see it. I suppose I'm in for this.
Unless
we could amend.
Does the secretary have to be SWAC member? Because Martin used to be our secretary. Martin, you out there?
Well, let's see who this one was.
The past operation of this committee should not be mistaken.
Are you saying the chairman was?
Ashley, would you be interested in serving as the secretary?
What are the responsibilities of the secretary?
What are the
responsibilities? Trying to show up.
No, it's a figurehead. You carry a title.
Yeah,
very good. If I would accept it,
secretary with Jackie's support. How's that?
That sounds great. I'd be willing to learn if someone wants to have a motion. I'd be willing to take it.
I move that. Whoops, I made the last motion. Do you want to make a motion?
I move that Ashley. It's
Ashley.
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 Ashley. Like how much?
Oh, jeez.
Sorry. It's actually, no, it's
an Irish
name.
It's
like Colleen, Ashley. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm going to need to have Ashley be the secretary.
I second it.
I second it.
Okay. We've got a motion. Accept. We've got a second. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, say nay.
She get a huge.
We've got a secretary. These? Okay.
double what she normally paid.
There we go.
Double that. All right. Well, thank you everybody for coming. Appreciate it.
And I do have one more thing. Michelle from Ecology had sent me an email asking for any minimum service level ordinances for recycling or organics. So I did the research for the county, but if any of the cities have any, you could send them to her.
Wait, would you say what you're looking for again?
Now I can forward this email. Minimum service level ordinances for recycling and or organics.
Would that be that would be contract line.
Would that be like edge disposal?
I think what she's asking is, I mean, I think, do the cities have code that drives the content of the contracts they issue for home for service in their jurisdiction?
I see.
And I have a self service entity, I'm sure that we do not.
Okay. And I only found one that we just passed last year. So
you passed it through though.
Yes.
And I'm interested in that as well. Okay. Well, maybe we should be aware of that, right?
I'll
forward this. Yeah.
What are we looking for?
Well, that's my wonder. I can share whatever needs to
be
said.
It's city ordinance. An ordinance. Yeah. It's like some counties require a curbside recycling within the urban growth area, or depots.
Or the cities codify in a solid waste service policy that they want. You know, when a city, cities have the authority to set solid waste service rules that end up in your contracts.
Okay.
But I would be stunned if any of the cities in this region have anything like that, because they can essentially defer to what's cost effective and available, and they aren't regulating or driving to any great degree what the service is.
That just makes me think, if 2301 kicks in, like let's say you build a regional, just picking on you build a regional compost facility and now everybody's triggered. The counties don't require garbage collection, but now they have to do organics.
State law says so.
Oh, that's going to be an interesting conversation.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I mean, we serve a couple of cities that don't have mandatory garbage collection, and 40% of people are not on service yet. Yeah. Yet they're going to have curbside organics.
Oh.
Yeah, you're going through contamination level. Wow. Okay.
What does the average person know what an organic is?
That's education. That's the next meeting. That's the next meeting.
That's why you put a decal.
You're asking way too much, man.
Thank you for coming, everybody. This meeting is adjourned.
18 minutes.